Hey guys, I'm super excited about this week's episode. I feel like I'm on a roll. Last week I had my friend Roop on the episode, and that for Big Mad Wednesdays, which was really, really dope. We talked about the H&M fiasco and a few other things. And this week I have Hope, and we sat down literally for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and talked about so much. So instead of giving it all at once, I think I'm just going to go ahead and split it up into little pieces and dish it out every week, maybe about 20, 25 minutes, so you guys can digest it and give some feedback, let us know what you think, have a conversation, and build. But I really am excited about having guests. I hope you guys are enjoying not just hearing my voice anymore, but me interacting with my friends, other people, and getting that second opinion, which is always the goal. The more disagreeing we have, the more enlightenment and experience and just communication and dialogue we can have to move forward, which is always the goal here at One Could Argue. So I'm going to go ahead and get right into the episode. It's a little mellow. I'm super high strung, but when I interact with people who are more chill, my energy does come down a tad bit just to match them. So this is more of a chill episode, but it is still lively. It is a lot of good information. We talk about accountability, taking the things that you can take into your own hands, not always waiting for the higher power, whether that be government or God or a parent. And then also figuring out self-worth. How do we establish value in a time where there's so many cultural stereotypes, whether you're Black, white, or Asian, and also the appeal to followers or the people around you, and not in the conventional way where we don't understand the importance of it, but really just helping to find that balance between the two. So those that do can, and those that don't want to, don't have to. So let's get into it. One Could Argue, and I'm here with Hope. Hi. So my voice may get a little bit more mellow because Hope's vibe is so chill. So this may definitely be a more chill vibe episode, but it is going to be really, really, really good nonetheless. How are you, Hope?
I'm awesome. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Hope. Yeah. But so me and Hope were literally just, we literally sat down for maybe like 30 minutes before we actually decided to record what we were talking about, because we wanted to know what we were going to talk about. So we literally just talked about a few random things, and we got on the subject of, I want to say, like, accountability.
Yes.
Slash ownership. Yes. From people.
Yes.
On like a citizen level.
Absolutely.
And just understanding what we can do, what we can do, what we haven't been doing, and why that is.
Absolutely.
And how it ties into sort of the ways that other groups function.
Yes.
Specifically, we were talking about how, like, some people may wait on the government to take action, how some people may take or may wait on God or the higher power to take action when they could go out and do certain things amongst themselves, just round people up on their own and start to make waves.
Absolutely.
To get things accomplished. So if you could, you was talking about, you was comparing it to the Black Panthers.
Absolutely. You were talking about the Black Panther Party and how they literally just took it upon themselves to do what they needed to do for their community.
Right.
And there's absolutely no reason why people, and people are doing it today.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. There are people who are taking the steps and are taking their community seriously and deciding that they are the people that they have to, they're waiting for. They're the people themselves. They mm-hmm. have to actually do it themselves. And there are people doing that every day. But I think the Black Panthers are a powerful example because at that time, you know, people were struggling in ways that I think we're not necessarily struggling anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they just took it upon themselves to feed people, to educate people, to gather people into a movement. And, you know, obviously we know what happened to that movement because it was so powerful, but it was just young people who decided to take responsibility for their community and create something themselves. And, you know, obviously the wave is still present because we're still talking about them.
Right.
So just to think about how profound that is.
Yeah. And I'm, my question is, I'm trying to figure out what is it that we are still doing it now. I'm not sure if it's because now we're in it,
yeah,
and it's happening and we're alive to see it, that in a situation like the Black Panthers is like, okay, that's already built its prestige of, oh man, this was a time we were doing this, so right, maybe people aren't necessarily seeing what we're doing now as being that.
Yeah.
But I'm also not sure if because we have so much more than we had then, I'm not sure if it's a matter of us not necessarily putting the right amount of energy, but maybe it's just like we're not putting that energy to it in the way that it is now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we, you know, obviously Black Lives Matter is something that springs to mind as a movement that, you know, obviously is people responding to what they're seeing and making a declaration that Black Lives Matter to be some sort of antidote for the degradation that Black people are experiencing in the culture.
Right.
And that's fine, but it's cerebral and it's conceptual, and it's not the same as feeding people food,
mm-hmm,
who are hungry. And so I think that's just a different type of activity that is more on the ground and it's more tangible. And that's maybe what is not missing, because obviously people are on the ground every day. But I think more people could be on the ground every day, so to speak. Really, people say in the trenches or in the street, but really doing tangible things for people that address their more tangible, immediate needs that aren't just conceptual needs.
Right.
The identity needs that I think people are putting a lot more energy in today. I think that just social media and people batting around ideas back and forth, that's very different than feeding people. It's just, mm-hmm, a very much more practical, mundane, day-to-day type of caring for people that I think is missing.
So with that, do you think, I'm just throwing darts at the board at this point, but do you think that one is more important than the other? And I'm asking that because, of course, feeding people without a doubt is very, very, very important.
Yes.
But now, because social media has become what it's become,
yeah,
and you're able to spread messages so quick and spread imagery and spread a I want to say imagery, but that's not the word, in regards of like how a race or how a group of people are looked at.
Right, exactly.
Is it, do you think those things should be treated the same, or do you think it's just as important to make sure that we're now more than ever being more vigilant in making sure that our image to the world is being spread correctly and accurately?
I mean, I for one am a big fan of really being clear about how a group of people feels about themselves for themselves,
mm-hmm,
and not about what other people see.
Right.
Because I think that it's a very dangerous game to play, that we've been playing for a long time as a person of color, to convince persons who are not of color to see that you're worth something,
mm-hmm,
or to see that you're beautiful. That's a losing game to me. Black Girl Magic or any of these kind of hashtags that happen aren't really for other people to see or for them to acknowledge. For me, it's about empowering those people who, you know, are a part of that, to feel something about themselves that helps them endure the world. And for me, it's not really about how other people see us, but I think that happens a lot. We're still, the focus is, if we could just get them to see that we're beautiful, or if we could just get them to see that we're equal. I mean, if you're still doing that, it's like you're still fighting the wrong battle to me. Mm-hmm. Because if you see it, and you see your worthiness, and you see your ability, and you love your people, however you define that, then you are going to do both. You're going to do things which are tangible and practical, and then you're going to do other things which may be more conceptual and maybe about identity construction in people's minds. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm black and I'm proud. You know, that music, those words, you know, obviously were part of people being able to endure the difficulties they were enduring, you know, during riots or, you know, during times when people had upheaval, you know, in certain communities. So I think it takes both. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have both, you just have the cerebral, the conceptual going on, and you don't have the tangible, it's ungrounded. And when it's ungrounded, it's not abiding, it won't last, and it's not deep enough. It doesn't really sink into people's everyday life as much as they want it to. You know, the hashtags don't accumulate and don't seem to really spill over into people loving each other more. Maybe it will, you know. I'm feeling that change happening, or seeing that change where I feel people are just sharing more love with people, you know, shouting each other out, appreciating each other just because, you know, reminding people how worthy they are, you know, that type of thing we have to do more often. Because I feel like that love is definitely what enabled the Panthers to do what they did. I mean, they came from a tremendous amount of love for their community. And that love is also something that sometimes just the anguish is so big, you know, from all the police brutality deaths and all the things that have been happening. There's so much anguish that sometimes you're not getting down to the fact that, oh, we really love each other, you know, and moving from that love and not that pain.
Mm-hmm. I think what initially when you started talking, it made me think of the Brown versus Board of Education, because I was listening to a podcast from Malcolm Gladwell, and he was pretty much saying how, you know, they put the kids in the new school. They put the black kids in the new school first without making sure that there was someone there to be able to speak to them. So you had a bunch of black children, you just dumped them on a bunch of white teachers who we know, especially at that point, hated them openly.
Right.
And you just, in a way, were just feeding them to the tigers, you know?
Yes.
So what you said makes sense, because it makes me just think how much we can put so much emphasis on how we should be respected for our ideas in fashion and ideas for TV shows and ideas for all of these different things, but we're always looking up to see that be received.
Yeah.
And I have definitely experienced myself just the doubt that it takes to just execute an idea just on my own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether it's the whole, you know, is this going to be good enough? Can I actually execute this? And those are things that just come from my own experiences, or subconsciously it could be from the way that we've been marginalized or seen to be lesser than, you know. Yes. What I mean, I'm not even 100% sure I'm aware of all of the ways that can impact me. Absolutely. You know what I mean, even though I definitely try to maneuver through life knowing that I can do that and I am intelligent, I can accomplish great things and stuff like that, there are still those things that, you know, as a person with a brain, just come to you. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
And that's, and I think everyone's going through it, regardless of if it's because of, you know, the color of their skin or, you know, the environment they grew up in. You know, they're made to feel like they had to seek permission. Mm-hmm. I think that we are all pretty much raised in a way that we're taught to get permission to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, through our education system, people are set up to want approval and permission. And until you, you know, are giving yourself that, you won't experience any measure of real freedom. And I think that goes for groups of people too. You know, if you're continually looking for the approval of another group of people to validate your existence, you never will be free, because you're still operating within their, you know, definition of you. And if they don't accept you, you're performing for them, and it's a performance. Mm-hmm. That's different than being aware of who you are and being aware of who you are and, you know, living your life.
So when it comes to trying to establish, when it comes to trying to establish a sense of self-worth, especially now being in this social media era, because we do want to understand how important it is to see movies like Black Panther and girls like Issa Rae. You know what I mean? We definitely understand the importance of seeing that and how that can give you that inspiration.
Yes.
But in a way, just how it was, I'm sure, growing up, when TV first started, when you see someone on the TV, it can still give them that whole, while it does help your self-image, it does, they do still have that larger than life. You know what I mean? So Absolutely. In a way, it's like, I can do that, but in a way, it's like, yo, that's so big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it would seem as though social media would help with that, because you're rallied around so many people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why, you know, they have Black Twitter or all, I'm sure, other races, and you can be in a whole, you can log into one person's Twitter and that be in a whole different Twitter experience.
That's true.
The other day I think I was on the Explore page and I saw someone tweeting in like a different language, and I'm like, yo, there's actually people who use different languages on here, and I've never seen it before.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I was like, yo, like, this is bigger than I really imagined it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, like, how, with all of this going on, would you suggest that a person find that balance of, you know what I mean, using it for what you can, but still making sure that you're building up that sense of, regardless of what you think, I can still do this, even though we're making it seem as though, hey, you've been given this opportunity to present your thing to everybody, so it sort of is important that everybody draws into your offering. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. I think that people are under a lot of pressure, you know, even though I think on one hand it looks like we have this big open field where people just can feel free to participate. I think people feel more pressure to actually, like you're saying, participate and to be empowered when they're really not necessarily feeling that way.
Right.
Because it's easy to say words and maybe not really be feeling up to speed with those words, and maybe not true for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so easy to do.
Right.
And I think that's very easy for people to, like I said, type a hashtag or get on a bandwagon about something, and it doesn't really penetrate them deeply enough for them to, like you said, feel that confidence. And some people are getting that. It's not that everyone is not, but there are some people who are still, I think, not receiving that, because it takes a lot more than just something that inspires you to really get you in tune with the fact that you are a powerful being. You have a limitless potential, you know, theoretically. Of course, there are limits because there's time and there's space and there's ability and resources, so take all of that to account. But when I think we get in touch with the fact that, okay, I do have this life force, like we were talking about earlier, that flows through me, you have the life force flowing through you, and yes, we have different aptitudes and abilities and interests, but just the fact that we have that life force, and if you have a reverence for that life force, then it becomes about that reverence. And I think that reverence is what instills confidence in people. That you're alive. And that you know you didn't create life. Like, I didn't create life. I'm just alive. I don't know what created life. I don't know what it's called. We're all speculating. Everything that we do is speculation. All the ideas that we think are foundational to our reality are all just ideas that someone has created and other people have bought into for long enough so that they seem like they're facts. And that's just the world. I mean, this is what we're in. But I think that basic level of reverence for life and appreciation for this opportunity to be alive, if that becomes your foundation for feeling a sense of worthiness, then while you're here, no one can really take it from you while mm-hmm. you're here. I mean, obviously, everyone has a finite amount of time. No one's ever lived forever.
Right.
And so that's just part of the reality. I mean, that's part of the challenge of being alive, is reconciling that reality that one day your life, as you know it, will cease to exist.
Yeah.
But I think that understanding that too, along with the reverence for life and just the facts of life that are there. Like I said, most of the things that we take as facts are actually speculation.
Right.
But then there are a few facts that I think that we can gain some sort of grounding from. And if you can construct your sense of yourself from those places, it's more vast, it's big, and you have something to draw from. Because when you're just drawing from skin color, because when you think about it too much, you see a hashtag like Black Excellence. What's black? Like, if you really start thinking about it, it can become meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Because black, what does black really mean? You know, and of course, you know, excellence has its own meanings, but when you see all that together, it's like, well, are we black? And what is black? I mean, there's more questions than answers, really. And so sometimes I think it can be problematic for people who want to be proud and let that be enough. It's still a superficial aspect of people. Not to say that it doesn't matter, because I love what I am. I love the people who I come from, because I come from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love them.
Right.
And if I was in a different body, I would love
that too.
That too. Yeah. So it's not, I don't feel in, you know, that I'm superior or that any group superior to any other group. That's mm-hmm. just my own natural perspective. Because I just think that it actually is more difficult to live in a world like that. You know, where it's just like, if you see your humanness and the fact that you get to be a human and be alive, which I think is a privilege, you know, versus being a fish or you know, versus being mm-hmm. something else. Like, if being a human comes with so many benefits, if you look at that as a responsibility, as an honor, and you get your self-worth from that, then no one can take it from you, because it's just a deeper level of self-identification. You know, it's like, I'm conjuring my identity from a place that you can't touch. You know, you can't dismiss this. I'm here.
Right.
You know, it's my presence. That's who I am. You know, and the rest of it, the body, you know, the circumstances of life, all those different things are the vehicle through which you're moving through the world. And I think that when you feel that way about it, you don't feel as attacked when people don't approach you with appreciation, when people don't get it. It's almost okay that they don't get it, because you do.
Right, yeah.
You know, I think that that's really the point. I see people that are very, very disturbed by people who don't get that they're worthy, or that they belong, or that they're great, or that they could be great. And it's just destabilizing. You know, you cannot, you know, gain your footing in a world where you're constantly waiting for someone else to tell you who you can and can't be. You know, that's insanity. And that's what we do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, our culture, that's very, very prominent in our culture, for people to, I mean, even, you know, the Golden Globes were on a few nights ago, and, you know, people celebrating each other, but I think there's still an approval-seeking mechanism that's really at work, which is not anything wrong with it. But even without that, people are creating every day. You know, most people who are creating in the world are not ever recognized.
Right.
You know, on that level. And I think that's why, you know, podcasting like this, or the internet, has created a space for people to, you know, produce things. And I think through producing things, you can experience your own voice. You can experience showing up in the world and see the waves that your presence makes, and how it butts up against other people's presence, and how it meshes or interacts or just combines with other people and you see that potential. So I think that, you know, as much as social media can be a place where people are harming each other, it can be a place where people do find the experience of showing up and encountering themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And really kind of, you know, experiencing that.
I agree. And it, to go back to the beginning of what you were saying in regards to identifying with a certain race, I definitely have on both sides experienced an indifference in regards to, like, on one side you may be like, you know, Black excellence, we are, you know what I mean, the people who've suffered much and we've established these characteristics and being able to turn things, you know what I mean, turn shit to sugar, you Absolutely. Know what I mean? And then on the flip side, it's like you also have, like, you know, Black people always da 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 da. They still have that very specific list of, okay, these are the pros and these are the cons. Absolutely. We're gonna bring attention to the pros,
yes,
but still we're gonna be like, hey, like, let's be wary of these cons. And it's like, these are, these really so limited to us,
right,
as opposed to other people that experience the world, you
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
And I feel like in a way that can be damaging when you're trying to lift past something,
mm-hmm.
because it can give you, I don't know, it's almost like the people who say, you know, I'm just me, I'm who I am.
Yeah.
And it's like, it sort of like packages that together. So it's sort of like inbreds like a sort of like built in like excuse, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To where it's like, I literally can't really lift past this. I can, but that part of me is just like, yo, like, this is what, this is, you're Black, you know what I mean? Right. Or it's like, oh, and you're, do people you're want white, to. Or you're, you know what I mean?
And do people want to?
Right.
So to me, I think that people get very, and I don't think comfortable is the right word, but they get very accustomed
mm-hmm.
to operating within certain parameters. And that makes them feel a certain type of safety, even though that safety might actually be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's like, if you're actually a vastless, like, you have no limits as a being. I mean, theoretically, you could really experience anything you want to experience. I mean, I believe anything's possible because I don't put limits on existence.
Right.
Because I just see existence do amazing things. So I'm like, actually, the track record's pretty good for existence being able to produce amazing results for people.
Right.
You know, in various ways. I mean, it makes me think about, I used to hate the Kings of Comedy. I do not laugh at that. Because of the Black jokes they would tell about the president.
Mm-hmm.
When we have a Black, I just thought it was so interesting because we actually ended up getting a Black president. And every single thing that they literally said about what a Black president would be like is actually totally nothing like Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And I found it deeply offensive that they would suggest that a Black president would be the way that they suggested a Black president would be. Because if a person who was not a person of color would have done that, it would have been, you know, just fury
yeah.
over the fact that how dare you say that, you know, there's going to be chicken and watermelon on the menu and a Black man. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. really? Like, so we default to that position. We very much, as people of color, keep these narrow confines of how we see ourselves alive. And we actually are constantly measuring each other. Like, I saw a tweet the other day and I thought it was funny, but it said, if you don't say Happy Valentine's Day to each other, it's not Black love.
That's hilarious.
And I laughed because yeah. I got it.
Yeah.
I knew, and like, only a Black person would really get that.
Right.
And so at once it made me feel like I was part of something, like you're in on something.
Right.
And then I was also like, I know how to say Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. I've never said Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Because I know how it's spelled.
Yeah.
And it's not Black to know that.
And I feel you because I see that often. And it's,
but I laughed.
Yeah, because it is funny. Because like yeah. you said, you do associate with that. But it's like that thin line between like, okay, I can associate with this without being limited to this.
Right.
And it's that latter part, like, oh, if you don't say this, then it's not Black
like
love.
That Black
it's
card, like Black card revoked.
Right, right. So it's like, what is, it's just like sometimes I'll see posts and people be like, man, if you have listened to Nas Illmatic, you don't know hip hop. It's like, I mean,
no.
That doesn't necessarily mean that I don't know hip hop.
Absolutely.
I might should check it out.
Yeah.
It's definitely a part of hip hop, a very important part.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean I don't know hip hop. You know
all.
What I mean? I should have put that sign on the door.
That's okay. We're just having fun right now.
And it was at that point that my ugly ass friend Prop decided to walk in and interrupt the whole podcast. I'm kidding. But yeah, I really enjoyed the conversation. Even a week later, I'm thinking back on it and just going over how dangerous permission can be. Permission is, I know for me, being brought up was one of those things that it just seemed like something you always have to do in order to take that next step. But later on in life, as you see how much certain people look for permission in not so conventional ways, you see how it can impact or sometimes keep you from taking the step forward because it's not agreed with or doesn't coincide with the beliefs or the views or just what someone else feels it should be. So that was really interesting, understanding how certain stereotypes, whether they're imposed from others or self-imposed from you and your own community, can limit you if you allow them to. So allow yourself to be a human. Embrace who you are as a person, whatever your race is, but allow yourself to embrace being human, being unique, having empathy for others, and being able to grow past whatever that stereotypical cliche culture thing is. You know what I mean? So yeah, excited. There's another one coming next week. I'm really excited to get these rolling out because they were all really good. Prop literally came in at the perfect time for the transfer into the new topic. But follow me on Instagram and Twitter, One Could Argue, O-N-E Could Argue, and follow Hope at H-O-P-E-H-Y-D-E-R on Twitter and Instagram as well. See you guys later.